Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 11 for study number 110, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 110-The Gospel-Part 2. Our text verse today is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. And it reads today, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now let's pray and ask God's leadership and guidance. Father, we thank you today for a brand new day. We thank you, Lord, for the health and the strength that we have, Lord, to preach this Bible. I pray, God, that you'll give us strength and wisdom. And may, Lord, we declare the whole counsel of God. Not just what we think or what others think, but Lord, what the Bible says. I pray you'd teach us, train us, and tell us, dear Father, today, what we need to know that we might walk in the precepts of the glorious Word of God and not waver and not, Lord, get to the side. But Father, we'll walk straight and strong for the Lord Jesus in these trying times. I pray you'd touch the hearers, open their minds and hearts and understanding that they may receive today that which you'd have them to receive from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, our study today will be number 110, and it will be the study number 11 on this verse 11. And we've studied so far now 11 studies off of this verse. And it's in the first chapter, the first book of Timothy. We'll title this study today, The Gospel Part 2. As we said in lesson 109, the word gospel is a New Testament word and is not found in the Old Testament at all. It is mentioned 95 times in the New Testament. The first reference is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And the last reference is found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 6. The gospel is misunderstood by many and misused by others. The gospel is essential. I mean, it's important. It's imperative to all of us. And without it, we would all be eternally lost forever in the pits of hell. Now, the Bible definition of the gospel is found in the first four verses of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and it reads thus. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Anything that is taught or preached that is not the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the Scriptures is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many churches and many religions do not preach these things, and therefore they do not preach the gospel, even though they may call themselves a gospel preaching church and have a sign on the outside that says so. The churches and preachers that do not preach the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will turn some to some form of works or some form of doings of men instead of trusting the grace of God and the blood of Christ to wash away sin. They will turn from repentance, as the Bible teaches, and take on the act of doing or not doing in order to obtain salvation. They'll preach a social gospel and all kinds of things to help mankind instead of looking for the Lord Jesus to cleanse and change the wicked hearts of the unbeliever. All kinds of social programs and helps will be manufactured to help those who are less fortunate. All of this is good, but they need the gospel more than they need clothes, food, and entertainment. To keep men and women out of the pits of hell is and should be the primary objective in our churches. Men resort to preaching baptism and joining the church and the like when they fail to preach the gospel. The gospel is the only hope for mankind, and we need to major on preaching the gospel. If we don't know what the gospel is, we will not preach it. If we do not preach it, men and women will not hear it. And if men and women do not hear it, they will die in their sins and go to a devil's hell. If we do not warn them, their souls will be on our hands. My prayer is that we be like Paul and be separated unto the gospel. As I stated in our last lesson, the Bible is the final authority and the final say concerning what the gospel is. If we want to know what the law is all about, then we need to study the Old Testament and look at what God gave Moses concerning it. We can all agree that Moses is God's spokesman concerning the law. God gave it, but Moses spoke it. He gave us the first five books of the Bible called the Book of the Law. In our books of the law. In the New Testament, which changes from the law to grace through the gospel, we need to look at God's spokesman he's chosen to instruct us about the gospel. Paul recorded under the inspiration of the Spirit 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He has given just over half the books of the New Testament, therefore. God entrusted, anointed, and ordained Paul with the right kind of preaching on the gospel. Paul is therefore our standard of preaching the gospel. How Paul did it, where to do it. It would do us well to study his methods and gain a good working knowledge of what and how we are to preach the gospel. In our day, we are producing preachers from our colleges and seminaries on the assembly line like we produce automobiles. They're the products and the puppets of the colleges and the professors that they've just come from. They've been patterned by many and have not stopped to look at what God expects out of the man of God. Many have not been called and have been deceived concerning the profession of preaching. That seems to be all it is to them, just a profession and a way of making a living. In this study, we will be looking at the preaching of the Word of God on the subject of the gospel. God is the author of preaching, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Many don't understand that God instituted the preaching of the gospel. He raised up prophets, kings, and priests in the Old Testament. And he has called disciples and then sent them forth as apostles in the New Testament. He has now given us preachers in the New Testament. All of these had a calling of God to deliver the message to the people of what is and what was on God's mind. None of us would know anything about the mind of God. We would not if we didn't have any preachers or the Spirit of God and the Word of God to tell us. If you add one more thing to this mix, then there's nothing that can stop the hand of God from working in our land. God's four instruments that he uses in and through the church are, here they are. Number one, preachers. Number two, prayer. Number three, the Holy Spirit. And number four, the Word of God. These in the hand of the living God can and will move the world. God is concerned about the man called the preacher and his method and his message. God is looking for sincerity in the pulpit, not showmanship and mannerisms in the behind the sacred desk. We'll look at what Paul thought and said about the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Here, Paul said he was ready to preach the gospel, not his opinions, not his philosophies, but the gospel, which if you remember from our last lesson, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul had a change of heart, which is salvation, through the gospel, and he also had a calling by the Spirit of God to declare the Word of God. All men who preach must have these two things. Salvation and a calling are essential to the preaching of the Word of God. Paul gives us some other things out of these verses as well. He said he was ready to preach the gospel. He did not hesitate to go for God. He was chomping at the bit, so to speak. He had a real heartfelt desire to declare the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It was the gospel that had changed Paul from a persecutor of Christians to a preacher of grace. Paul's direction had been changed. It had been altered. Matter of fact, he had been turned square around, amen, and headed in a brand new direction. And so he was changed and given a new nature in his soul. As a matter of fact, Paul felt compelled to preach, as we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul felt that he was a debtor to God for what he had done for him. What a difference it would be if every man of God would enter the pulpit feeling like they were a debtor to the sinner instead of feeling they had a duty or an obligation to do for the church in order to pay their bills. A debtor is one who owes a debt. To enter the pulpit feeling like you're trying to pay a debt you owe God or make a living for your family is the wrong attitude to have. To enter the pulpit feeling like you're a debtor to preach to the sinner is the right attitude to have. You or I can never pay the price for our salvation. If we could do that, Christ would not have had to die for us on the cross of Calvary. But we do not owe God for our salvation, but we owe the sinner on his way to hell. We owe him the right, and we owe him the opportunity to hear the gospel of grace in order that he may be detoured and picked up out of the mire of hell and set free by the grace of God. Remember, your debt has been paid that you owed. Amen. You don't owe it now. It's been paid. Jesus on the cross has told us in John 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Many think they owe Christ for his salvation. Salvation, my friend, is a gift of God. You do not have to pay for a gift. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that you owe a debt to God for your salvation. It is paid in full. In the files of God's mind and in his word, you'll never find a debt against you for your salvation. He gave it to you. The phrase preach the gospel is mentioned 11 times in the New Testament. Jesus told the disciples and us as his church to preach the gospel to every creature and not just a selected few. In Mark 16:15, he said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to be indebted to every creature, every soul, and every person on the earth with the gospel. It is our obligation as a Christian and as a church to preach the gospel to the rich or the poor, the known or the unknown. Every race, every creed, every color, every nationality needs to hear the gospel. The free, the bond, the educated, the uneducated, the high class, the middle class, the lower class, the male, the female, they all need the gospel. Jesus set the example to preach the gospel as we see in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. These are the words of Jesus. Notice the Word of God said he was anointed to preach the gospel. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is imperative to the preaching of the Word of God. No spirit, no power. The Holy Ghost is the driving force of our preaching, not our enthusiasm, not our knowledge, not our alliterated outlines that rhyme. The emphasis of preaching is to be Christ and the gospel through the Word of God, not our abilities. The phrase "preach the gospel" is found 7 times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, verse 25, it said, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." Beloved, this world needs the preaching of the gospel. My prayer and yours should be for God to give us physical strength, mental strength, financial strength, and spiritual strength to get the gospel in the hearts of every soul we possibly can before it's too late. God help us to get the gospel preached or published, amen, while we have time. John told us in his word in chapter 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." These are the words of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for listening to this message number 110. Amen.